right, take your Bibles and turn to, got the wrong sermon here, unless you want to hear Sunday mornings over again. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. As Pastor Harvey says, Jones Sr. says, if a sermon's any good, it's good enough to preach twice, all right? And so we're not doing that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this evening, so glad to be in the house of God on the eve of a new year. And this evening, I want us to just think back on some things. Each year that we live holds so many different things. Sometimes we think about the blessings. We think about the good things. We think about all the wonderful things. And as you sit down and begin to think about it, you say, well, not a lot happened to me this year. Well, if you slow down and really think back, and you think back through each month, maybe think back through January, or you think back through February, March, or the summertime, or the spring, or the fall, coming into wintertime, you can think about the different events of the year, whether it's a holiday, or it's a birthday, or even those that have passed away. There are so many things that happen to us in a year. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, and this is a verse talking about the new birth, things that which were old, things that used to be, things that were used to be true of us as a lost person pass away, and we are made into something new. And something I want us to think about tonight is that 2019 is over, only a few more hours left in this year. The time is gone, but what are we going to do in the new year? All things are become new. As a kind of a famous expression, and it's not my habit to quote Anne of Green Gables, but, right, you know what I'm going to say, is that tomorrow is brand new with no mistakes in it. And that's very true. And that we have the future to serve the Lord. But the devil wants us to view all the mistakes and view all the negative things that happened this year and to be discouraged and say, well, I cannot go forward in the future with God. We can stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. As we have some thoughts for the new year, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that we have such a wonderful church family. We thank you for your blessings, and also, Lord, we thank you for the trials. We thank you for how you have wonderfully directed throughout the year. I pray, dear Lord, that you will guide and direct this message, give you the words to say. Give us wisdom, Lord, give us power, and Lord, help us to look forward to what you have in store for this new year. I pray that you would bless this time, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thoughts for the new year. 3 points to the message tonight, 3 simple thoughts, because whenever we look at time, we always look at it in 3 ways, the past, the present, and the future. 2019 is in the past. We are still presently in 2019, even though a few hours left, just under 6 hours left in the year. And I understand it. I said, well, Pastor, just time. And remember, God created time. And that each person in here today, you have less time left in your life than you did just a moment ago. But as we look back on the past, we look back on the year that we have, what we have seen God do, we have seen God give us so many blessings. Every single day, there's not a day that goes by that we are not given a blessing of God. Have you ever thought of that? There's not a day that goes by that God has not blessed us. Us waking up and having another day to serve Him, no matter what our physical condition may be or whatever situation's going on in our life, that is a blessing from God that we have another day to live, because what we deserve is the pit of hell. What we deserve is death. But God has given us another day of life, and we only live by His sustaining power. The universe only continues in its courses by His sustaining power. We only see the blessings of God by His gracious and loving hand. And we have seen so many of those. Every person's life, you cannot say that you were not blessed in 2019. Some people say that. They say, well, God didn't bless me this year because you didn't get what you wanted. No, but you had so many blessings that maybe we forget to look for and forget to see. But those blessings are old. We need to look forward to new blessings. This past year was full of old blessings. It was also full of victories over sin. You know, it's exciting to hear about victories. We don't hear about as many of them as we used to or as we need to sometimes, but we do have victories. Maybe victories in our personal life. Maybe a victory over a sin or a habit, or we saw the victory of people getting saved. We saw the victory of God working in someone's life, of them turning back from the world and turning to follow Christ and follow His Word. Saw the victories of seeing people who are bound by sin set free. But those victories are old now. They are the past. We should remember them. We should thank God for them. But we cannot live off of old blessings. We cannot live off of old victories. Also, this past year, there were blessings, there were victories. The past was exciting, but also, let's admit it, there were some defeats too. Oh, all of us are defeated at times. There were some defeats. Maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we got in the flesh. We let the old man creep back in, and there were some defeats. We let the devil defeat us. We weren't trusting in the power of God. We didn't put on the armor of God as we ought to, and there were some defeats this year. But remember, just as the blessings are old and the victories are old, guess what? The defeats are too. They're old. They don't have to be true. They don't have to be true of the future. And also in this past year, there were blessings, victories, defeats, but also there were tragedies. People who are no longer with us in this life, but have gone on to the next. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends. People that who are no longer with us. Tragic things, not only people that have passed away, but also those who have had tragedies befall them, maybe a car accident or something, a broken heart and a broken life because of sin. We have seen tragedies. Maybe in our life a tragedy has taken place or in someone else's life, but remember, all those tragedies are also old. That in the future, we will have tragedies in the future, but remember, God gives comfort and peace and healing in all of those areas. We have had many joys. Amen. Many joys. New additions to the family. I know grandchildren or children. Amen. It's hard to believe. I just was thinking about it. I said, wait a minute. Timothy was born this year. And, you know, you think it was years ago, and it was this year. Now we have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Amen. The blessing, joys, the joys of victory, the joys of just reading your Bible and knowing God is speaking to you, the joy in serving the Lord and serving Him faithfully and seeing some of the fruit come. That's a great joy. Amen. Great joy. We have a lot of joy around our church. Praise God for that. We see God working in lives. A lot of maybe joy in your family, joy in your life. But you can't live off old joy either. But there's going to be new joy for the coming year. We could go on and on and on about so many different things, about good and negative. We had to be careful calling things good and bad, but positive and negative. God works all things together for good to those that love God. Amen. He does that. He has a purpose in it. All things, both positive and negative, God has a result to come forth in our life. But all those things are old. They're the past. And what some people live in is the past. They'll live in this year, or they live in the year before that, or the decade before that, and maybe 20, 30 years ago. Oh, don't you remember the good old days? I think we need to get back to some of those good old days sometimes, amen? Before the ills of this world and the degeneration of our society. We need to get back to those good old days, but you know what? There's still days ahead. You know, when we say, well, things aren't ever going to be the way they used to be. I'm so glad that Noah didn't say that. Amen? Because he lived in a world that was wicked and vile and evil. Man thought evil continually. And God says, I'm going to judge them, I'm going to wipe them out, but Noah, you and your family, you're going to build an ark, and you're going to be preserved. And guess what? Yes, they were alone, but there were better days ahead for Noah and his family. I think we lose sight of, we don't believe there are better days ahead in serving God anymore. Don't hear many sermons on that. There are better days ahead in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I understand there's the ills, and but Pastor, don't you understand? This is an election year, and Joe Biden could become president. You know, amen. It could happen. Don't say it can't. It could happen. You know, and, you know, some people are saying, well, you know what, they're going to impeach President Trump. You know, that would be a shame, but we get Mike Pence as president. Amen. That's okay with me, too. But we look all the way through these things, and these things, we don't know what's going to happen with these things. But, Pastor, there's so much negative out there. There's a lot of positive things that the Lord can do. There's many people who can be saved. There's many people who can be ministered to. There's many people who can grow. Many lives changed in the new year. But if we spend our time looking at the past and, well, this doesn't happen anymore. Well, this used to happen, but it doesn't anymore. This used to happen, but it doesn't anymore. We're living in the past. We can't live that way. We need to live for now and also the future. That brings us to the second point tonight. So we can't live in the past. We need to look at the present. The present. Currently, we're here tonight. Amen. At least I think you're here. I think somebody said, I'm pretty sure I'm here too. You're looking around. I think I am here. Yes, you know, I understand how some of our lives go. You know, how busy we are. Like, am I really here? Yes, I am here. I'm not dreaming. So currently, we're here tonight. And we're here to remember the past year, to remember all that God has done, and we give God the glory. We have some joys and we have some regrets. But tonight is not about a New Year's resolution. Well, I endeavor next year to do better at this. Tonight, we're here for the realization that this past year is now old. It's about to pass away, just like we read here, for the old things are passed away. It's about to pass away into the history pages, into our memories. But behold, all things are become new, a new year. You know, in the new year, we shouldn't look at, well, it's a new year. It's going to be full of sorrow. It's going to be full of pain. It's going to be full of negative. We're not going to have the victory. And the church is probably just going to shrivel up and die. And all these things. Okay, Eeyore? And you know, that's the devil's discouragement. That's the devil's discouragement. By the way, you know it's a sin to be discouraged? Because discouragement, I'm not saying we don't get discouraged at times, but to remain discouraged is a sin. Because it shows a lack of faith. Word was mentioned, belief. Oh, we need to have trust and faith in the promises of God and the promises of His Word, and to trust in them and to live by them. All things are new every day. And what lies before us is a new year and a new decade. What new things will 2020 have in store? Maybe think back 10 or 20 years. Did you think you would be where you are in your life right now 20 years ago or 10 years ago? I didn't. You know, I mentioned, I think it was Sunday night, how it wasn't too long ago, remembered, hey, it was the Y2K scare. You know, everything was going to end and we're going to end up living, having no technology and we're going to have to live on farms and all these things were going to happen. But now 20 years later, some of you, now I think about that, 20 years ago. You know, I never thought I'd get to the age where I could say, 20 years ago, I remember. No, but, yeah, some of you can say, 50 years ago, I remember. But, you know, this is what we have to understand, is there's new things in store for us in the new decade. Wonderful things. Let's look at the future, shall we? You know that there's going to be joy in the year 2020? Amen. That is, if you're loving and serving the Lord, there's going to be joy. If you're following His Word, God promises joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all of these things. There's going to be joy this year in your life if you're faithful to Him. If you're faithful to His house, you're faithful to His Word, you're faithful in service to Him. If you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, you're going to have some joy. There's going to be some joyful things that happen. You know what? Do we have joy in serving Jesus? I love singing that song. There's joy in serving Jesus. Not drudgery. You know, sometimes we sing, there's joy in serving Jesus. You know, we're just dragging and things. But, you know, you're just getting help. You know, that's why it's written, there is joy in serving Jesus. A pastor, please don't sing. There's joy in not hearing pastors sing, too. No, but there's joy, right? There's joy. At least there should be. If you don't have joy in serving the Lord, there's something wrong. Because we get to serve. We get to. We don't have to. We get to. There's a very important difference between those two words. Well, Pastor, it's our reasonable service, and it's our duty, and we have to. We should want to. Amen? There's no better boss than the Lord. He's never going to cheat you. He's never going to steal from you. He's never going to abuse you. He's always going to do what's right because God is perfect. God is the perfect boss. Amen? He is not only that, but he is our friend. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is all of these things. And there's going to be joy in serving him this year. We have the joys of addition to the family. There's going to be more grandchildren. There's going to be more children. There's going to be more blessings. There's going to be wonderful things. Trust me, we're waiting for the announcements coming up this year, amen, of new things, new changes in people's lives. There's going to be joy. We're looking at the future. Oh, Pastor, the future is rosy. Well, there's going to be sorrow, too. There's going to be sorrow in 2020. I said, Pastor, we were just on a positive note. Why'd you go negative on us? Because it's true. There is going to be sorrow. There's going to be sorrow, but it doesn't have to wipe out the joy. We're going to have joy and have sorrow. Isn't that how life is? There's going to be joys. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be victories. Also, unfortunately, there's going to be some defeats, just like this year. But it's up to you to decide what you're going to have. You know, because sorrows come upon us many times, not of our own accord, because of things that happen in life, you know, the cycle of life. People live and people die. Accidents happen. But some of the sorrows that we have in our life are self-inflicted. Because we decide to turn away from the promise. We decide not to believe in the promise of God or the truth of God's word. And we go our own way and we'll end up in sorrow. And that's of our own accord. Sin always brings sorrow and shame. Try saying that three times fast. Sorrow and shame. There'll be victories. And it's up to you how many victories you have in the new year. You know, we say, well, I hope I have just as many of this year as the past. You understand, I just don't seem to have a whole lot of victories. That's not God's fault. That's not the Bible's fault. It's your fault. Because we can have victory every single time if we desire it and if we believe and trust in the one who gives all victory, that is Jesus Christ. You know why we have a lot of defeats? Because we can't defeat the devil. We can't defeat sin. We can't defeat habits. We can't defeat the flesh on our own. Well, I'm in control. I've got willpower. You know what? We need to stop this willpower Christianity and to have some Holy Spirit power Christianity. It's not about willpower, how tough you are. Well, I can fend off the devil maybe for a little while, but you can't keep him off. I'm so glad Jesus Christ didn't depend on willpower in the wilderness. He depended on the power of the Word. That's what we need to stand in. You'll have victories that way. There'll be some defeats. There'll be some mistakes, but there doesn't have to be as many as there were this year. There doesn't have to be defeats. It's up to you. There'll be comfort. Amen for comfort. Be comfort from hurts. Guess what? You're going to get hurt in 2020. Pastor, how do you know that? Because we're all sinful creatures. And we're going to be hurt by people, by friends, by family. We're going to be hurt. But what are you going to do about it? It's up to you whether to forgive or to be bitter. To have a spirit of reconciliation or of attitude of vengeance. There'll be comfort. There'll be pain. There'll be some emotional pain. There'll be physical pain. Can't live a year without pain. And the older you get, the more pains there are. I mentioned Sunday, went to a trampoline park with Caleb last week. I didn't realize I had those muscles there. When I went down to bed Saturday night, and I'm like, you ask my wife, I'm not wimpy when it comes to pain. Right, dear? There's certain kinds of pain that I don't like, and that was the kind of I don't like. But just soreness, and I just, you know, pretty much, you know, I kind of did one of these. It's not a bend. You just kind of like fall back and kick your legs up into bed, and that you just one hurt, you know, and as you get into bed. Ibuprofen's a wonderful thing. But, you know, there's going to be pain. You know, there's going to be pain. There's going to be some emotional pain. There's going to be some broken hearts in the new year. But all of these things will be new in the future. All of these things are a part of our lives. But how will you live your life in 2020? Will you live it for the Lord and His kingdom, or will you build your own kingdom? Let's look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. I'm going to look at a couple of familiar places tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. The command of God. What is going to bring victory in the new year? What is going to bring positive results out of negative circumstances? What is going to bring that? It's very simple. Do you love the Lord and do you trust Him? Two things. Do you love the Lord and do you trust Him? Well, yes, I love the Lord. Well, let's look over here. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Law first mentioned, heart, most important thing. Where is your heart tonight? Is your heart with the Lord? So, well, how do I know where your heart is? Let me ask you something. Where would you rather be right now? Are you at church because you have to be, or this is the place you would rather be in all the earth? Would you rather be at home with a nice blanket and a nice book and a cup of hot cocoa, singing Christmas carols for the last day that you can officially sing Christmas carols, right? Or would you rather be playing a video game, or you'd rather be, hey, I'd rather be doing something else. I'd rather do something fun than being in church right now. If that's the case, you'd rather be somewhere else, then you don't love the Lord with all your heart. That's a thermometer. What are you saying, that I can't love the Lord and not be in church? I didn't say that, but if you'd rather be somewhere else than where God is, then you don't love the Lord with all your heart. And we're all guilty of that at different times. We're all guilty of taking back the reins of our heart and saying, you know what, I want my way. I want what I want. But do we love the Lord with all of our heart? And with all of thy soul, what we feel, our emotions, and with all thy might, the physical, mental, and spiritual strength, every single part of our being, that we are going to love God. And with the might side of it comes action. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Turn to Romans chapter number 12. And for that action to take place, there needs to be a surrender. There needs to be a realization that God is worthy of every single ounce and fiber of love and strength that we have. He is worthy because He who created all, He who has power over all, loves you and sent His Son to die for you. And He is worthy of every ounce and scrap of strength that we have and praise that we have to uplift His name, to uplift His majesty and His glory and His power. Romans chapter 12, begin verse number 1. Two of my most favorite verses in the Bible. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Pause for a moment. What is Paul saying? He is begging, beseeching, saying, this is a decision everyone has to make. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why does he say by the mercies of God? It's only by the mercy of God that we are not consumed, that we are not cast into the pit of hell. By God's mercy, we have an opportunity to serve him. Mercifully, he has given us an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the most important and highest of all services in all the universe, is to serve the living God. But is that how we view serving him? Well, unfortunately, the devil whispers in our ear all the time, well, church work isn't that important. Let me ask you something. And this is a question we need to ask ourselves. Do I spend more effort on the things of God than on anything else? Do you study for that lesson or that responsibility, prepare for that responsibility, whatever, whether you're teaching or helping or working in the nursery or whatever it is? Do you put as much effort into your ministry for God as you do for the job that you work? Or for the school class that you take? We get to put in those kind of frames and kind of things. We get convicted. Like, well, I don't put as much effort as I could and as I should. We're all guilty of that. But do we put as much love and concern and effort into any ministry? I don't care if it's cleaning a toilet in the house of God or helping someone move into their house, as we do at different times, or helping someone do anything because we love and care about them, giving our money, whatever it may be. Do we put as much effort into that as we would into things that we enjoy doing or things that we think are fun or things that we would do with our family? Do we put just as much effort? Something that's been said many times over is that, do we put as much effort into making the house of God look as our own home would look? Make sure it's clean, or making sure it's properly taken care of. You know, you go into some churches, I mean, the lights are hanging out of the ceiling, you know, things are rotted on the outside of the building, you know, you got gutters hanging low, ready to fall off the side of the building. We don't have gutters, but we're planning to have gutters here and very soon this year. That's a goal for 2020, have gutters, amen? They're in the shed, they just need to go up. But you've all been to churches like that, I think, that just things aren't taken care of, and you walk in there, so wow, you're just not impressed. You know, things aren't clean, the floor isn't vacuumed, I mean, the toilets haven't looked like they haven't been scrubbed in 2 years. You know, you're like, what is this? I wouldn't allow my house to look that way. We ought not to let the house of God look in a particular way that we would not let our own home look. The house of God should look better than your home looks, because it is his house. The presence of the Lord is here. That brings into the effort. How much effort do we put forth? If we're really surrendered, we're going to put forth the effort in service to him, because it's a reasonable service. But why is it reasonable? Why is it reasonable? Well, one reason is that Jesus Christ gave his life to save you. But why is it reasonable to serve the holy God? Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Think about that. The posts of the house were moved. They were shaking at the voices of the seraphim. This isn't the voice of God. This is the voice of one of his created beings. His glory and his majesty was trumpeted aloud so loud and so powerfully that it shook the posts of the house. This is an awesome spectacle. This was a vision that Isaiah saw. And he saw this. God lifted back, pulled back the curtain of heaven and let him see into the very throne room of God. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Why is it reasonable service? Because he who has all power, that is pictured here, the Lord of hosts, it is by his mercy you are not consumed where you sit tonight because of our sin. He who is high and holy, he who has all power and majesty, who is perfect, it puts our salvation into a little bit of a perspective when we look at what we are deserving because of our sin. But he loved us so much, and he had mercy and grace upon us that he offered us the free gift of salvation. We deserve to be annihilated where we sit tonight and where I stand. But it's by his mercy. But not only just the mercy of salvation, that Jesus could have just come and died upon the cross, and God could have said, okay, they are sinful creatures, but I have mercy upon them. I'll save them from their sin. I'll give them a way of salvation. But that's it. They just live out their life, but they're not worthy to serve me. I don't want them serving me. Sinful creatures that they are. That's how we think in the human realm. But another mercy and a grace of God is that they have been redeemed. They have been saved. They have been cleansed by the blood of my Son. And I love them. And they love me. And I want them to have a place of service to me as their King. Amen. God didn't have to do that. It is only reasonable that we should take God up on his offer of service to him. Service to him is a gift. It is a mercy. It is a grace. It is a gift of God. Just as salvation is, service to him is a gift to be able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But unfortunately, so many take it so lightly that we're able to serve God. Look back at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 2. And the result of this, the result of seeing God's holiness, the result of seeing God's power, brings us to verse number 2. Submitting ourselves to this, and if we're submitted to God, we're not going to be conformed to this world and be not conformed to this world, because fellowship with the world is enmity with God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you think serving God is a drudgery, you need to have some renewing of your mind. If you think that serving God is no big deal, then you need to have a renewing of your mind. If you think that sin is no big deal, then you need to have a renewing of your mind. If you think that doing your own thing is the best way to have some fun in life, then you need to have some renewing in your mind. If you think, well, I don't really like my job in church and I just don't like my ministry, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go to another church where I can do what I want. You need a renewing of your mind. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about how important we are. It's about how much God loves us and how much we ought to love him. And if we really love somebody, we're going to do something for them. Amen? If you really love your wife, you're going to do something for her every once in a while. You know, once or twice a year, do something. Right? I'm just joking. Ladies are like, Pastor, no. No, all the time, every day, you ought to do something for your wife. Amen, guys? Do something for your wife. Ladies, you should be doing something every day to put up, no, I mean for your husband, to show that you love him. Service to one another. Guys, a great way to show some service to your wife is to make the bed. Pick up your clothes and put them in this wonderful thing called a hamper. Maybe wives say, no, don't do this. You don't know my husband. Maybe even put the load of wash in. It's real easy. You put the whites over here. You put the darks and colors here. You put it in. Turn it on cold. And this cool thing called a laundry detergent. They even have this amazing thing. It has a measuring cap on it so you don't have to guess. And you just pour it in there. Not two or three, just one. You pour it in there. And it's amazing. Washers have this amazing thing. It's called a start button. Guys, you've got this. You can turn on a car. You can turn on a washing machine, unless you have one from 1965, which takes a minute. You got to pull it out and turn it and push it in and all that nice stuff. But the modern ones, we can't, by the way, we're so technologically advanced, we can't handle those type. We need a push button to start it, right? They make things more complicated. But anyway, you know, and you take the whites and you put it in there and you turn it on hot and you use a little bleach or use a little thing, a little spray and wash here and there. And Lay's like, please, she's going, honey, don't do it. You know, last time you did, you turned your shirts pink. No, don't do that. But no, acts of service to hell. But that's woman's work. Where in the Bible does it say that? Pastor, a wife is to be a keeper at home. I understand that, but there's times when your wife needs a little help. Act of service. Put your own plate in the sink. Or the dishwasher, yeah. Not just the sink, all the way to the dishwasher, amen. Just get all the way in there. But that's ladies' work. Amen. No, right? They can do that. Ladies, what can you do for your husband? You're looking at me like I do a lot already. No. This is more for the guys than for the ladies. But do you show that to your husband that you love him? I cooked him a meal today and I didn't poison it, so I love him. No. Acts of service to one another. So we think of that, we kind of chuckle. I said, oh, yes, because I love that person. Maybe when you were dating or when you were engaged and when you were, you know, first married, you know, you did things. You bought her favorite candy. You bought her favorite drink and things like that. And we did those things because we loved them. We wanted to serve and wanted to do something. We wanted to carry her books when you were in college, you know, or in high school. We wanted to carry her books. But I mean, it's, oh, that's great. And we kind of smile and we laugh. I said, but that illustrates a point. We love God. What are we doing for him? What way can we show our love and appreciation for what we have been given? Well, he tells us, love me and serve me with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And Jesus added on your mind or every thought. That's how we can see victory in the future, in the new year. 5 hours left until 2020. And as each day goes by, it will go from the future to the present to the past. That's a journey of every day. Yesterday, this morning was the future. Now, this evening, this morning is the past. That is the passage of time. And are those moments filled with love to God or love for self? Are they filled with service to God or doing what you want? If you line yourself up to love and serve God, you'll have a great year. But if you line yourself up to serve yourself and do what you want, you're going to have a miserable time. Well, I'll have some fun. Fun only lasts for a little while. Fun only lasts. You know, you wonder why some churches, we see in churches today, so many people just sitting in pews all shriveled up and puckered up and don't have any joy because they don't live according to what we just read tonight. Maybe there needs to be some dedication for the new year. Maybe there needs to be some confession of things that have been in the past. Remember, don't live in the past. The devil wants you to live in the past of your past sin. If you confess it and God's forgiven, move forward. You have a clean future ahead of you. The past is forgotten. Amen? Don't let the devil bind you to the past. So many people live in the past. The devil will bind you to the past. Well, the devil keeps reminding me. Stop listening. Amen? Well, I just can't ignore it. Read something else. Distract yourself. And don't go to the television. Go to the Word of God. And guess what? The future is open before you tonight. What decision will you make? Here are some thoughts for the new year. Will you love the Lord? So I already do. Will you dedicate, Lord, I'm going to love you more this year. I'm going to serve you more. I'm going to do more for you. I'm going to show more love to you, dear Lord. As was mentioned, more love to thee. Is that our goal for the new year?